What's up, Square Pimp Brigade? On this episode, we have comedian John Campanelli. We discussed the T.I. thing and the Godfrey situation and T.I. getting booed. We talked about the financial loss of dating, when she's interviewing you, and when you should be interviewing her and knowing what your own personal value is.
Yeah, it's definitely a fun one. And but as a reminder, guys, please join us over at Patreon, patreon.com/manschool202. That's where we do the bonus shows. We do listener mail and we do extra episodes. And that includes this episode where we continue with John Campanelli as we discuss women's jealousy, the value of saying no, and women who don't look like their pictures in apps, on dating apps. So all of that and more advice over at patreon.com/manschool202. It helps us keep the show going. So support us. Enjoy the show.
Thanks, y'all.
Okay, cool.
I'm not an alpha male. I'm not a beta male either. I'm just a better man.
Better man.
Well, put your happiness first, because if you don't, they won't. Yo, 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 what's up? GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do to sexual revolutions being podcasted? And I am excited. This is a special show. We got a special guest. Now, I know I've said that 500 times before, but this time I mean it. So, get ready to get it in. Harry, what's going on? You ready to rock and roll?
Absolutely, I'm ready to rock and roll. I'm feeling great. As you said last time, we're getting it hard. And I was like, what? That's the new phrase. That's what the kids are using.
Getting it hard?
That's what you said last time.
I don't know if I said that.
You most definitely did. I'll play it back for you. You did. You definitely did.
You sure?
Time to get hard, I think, is what you said.
No, I absolutely did not say that. I think you said that.
I'm pretty sure you did. Pretty sure you did.
You want to do the intro?
Yeah, man. I mean, just a funny, talented dude. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for John Campanelli, everybody. Put your hands together.
What up, John? What's going on?
Canada's own John Campanelli.
All right. I guess right out of the gates, I guess we got to address it. Yeah, I didn't even realize I had this on until the video came up, and I was like, oh, I'm wearing a Canada t-shirt. I just like the way it looks, and I just threw it on. So I'm not Canadian. I like Canadians. I'm not pro or anti-Canadian.
I'll say this.
Fuck Canada.
Oh, Jesus. That shirt does automatically make you look Canadian. I will admit.
Right? How
yeah.
funny is that?
I feel like you're Graham K's brother.
Well, this is what's funny is, and I'm not doing this. This wasn't staged. I actually had this sent to me from a fan in Canada.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just, I got it a couple months ago, and I just put it on like a week ago, and I was like, oh, this looks really cool on me. Yeah. And I just, yeah, it's one of those t-shirts. It's just the type of gray with the red.
It pops.
Yeah, nice.
John, you're a New York, like we knew each other like New York back like when? I mean, I'm trying to remember when we met.
So I've been doing comedy since like 2010,
right?
But I used to come back and forth a lot.
Right, right.
So I definitely just in the trenches. I don't think there's like a one specific moment, but
yeah, yeah.
I was fairly bi-coastal until relocating here, because I'm being based out of here since like.
Where are you from originally?
Westchester, New York.
Westchester, and yeah. And you opened for some pretty heavy hitters, you know, early on in your career, like who can talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean a lot. I think the coolest I did a tour with Dane Cook, which was theaters and arenas, just really awesome to play those. And I worked with him a bunch, those shows are just incredible. And then otherwise, scattered opening up for a bunch of guys, like I actually opened up for Russell Peters not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
Young, I opened up for like Eliza Schlesinger, even Bobby Lee a little bit.
Yeah.
So a bunch of them. There's a ton more that were just kind
yeah,
of
yeah.
scattered, but yeah.
Now I don't know. Did you see what happened with the whole? I don't know if you know about the T.I. thing. Are you aware of what happened?
Yeah, so a little bit.
So it's an interesting. Harry is in his glory.
God, I'm so happy.
So, what did you hear? I don't want to assume that you know.
So a few things. It started off where he's just kind of, you know, getting up on shows and maybe, this is what I've heard. This is what I, maybe he's like disrespecting the stage a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of, was already kind of getting into it with some comics. And then the big thing I think was that he essentially got on stage with a female comic and ripped the mic out of her.
Oh, wow. You don't know the whole, you just know the piece. So what happened?
Diplomatic. What I'm hearing is not good. I'm just being a little diplomatic.
Yeah, okay. What happened was, first it was a thing with Godfrey. There was a thing that went down with Godfrey. That was the first incident where Godfrey had did like an hour and a half. He had been doing comedy about 4 weeks, and he came out, and because he is who he is, went on after Godfrey did an hour and 45 minutes headlining, and then did another half hour afterwards. Yeah, your face. The face says it all.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm almost not even following. That's ridiculous. He did.
Yeah, yeah. That's weird. Well, he was in Atlanta, and Atlanta is kind of like his city.
Right.
You know, like, he owns Atlanta and everybody. And so he had been doing comedy, but he had been basically, you know, everybody's been putting him up, and everybody's like sucking his dick because they're like, oh, it's T.I., so he could do whatever he wants to do. And then, so there was a whole thing where, you know, it just was kind of a disrespectful thing to do, especially to Godfrey, because, you know, Godfrey's one of the gods, you know, not excuse the pun, right? But, you know, it's just like, and even though he's not as famous as like Chris Rock or Chappelle, they wouldn't even.
Yeah, no, totally. And I bet what Godfrey's reaction was probably, he's just such a humble guy. I'm sure he was just,
he
like,
was cool, right. But then he kind of went on his podcast and he bitched about it. And then T.I. heard him, you know, cause he should have, you know, it wasn't appropriate. And then there was a whole big thing where T.I. was checking him and stuff like that. And then there was a whole live, and I was on the live with him and whatever. And then I basically said to him, I said, first of all, you know, cause you know my vibe. Like, I don't give a fuck. Mm-hmm. I'm not pulling no punches. I was like, first of all, there's an etiquette to this.
That's what I'm thinking now is, and this is a bigger thing than just T.I. to me. It's a bigger symptom. And what T.I. is doing is he's making a mockery out of stand-up.
Right.
And it's not, T.I.'s not the only one doing it. You know, it's T.I., so he's going to get the most press. But under our noses, there are a lot of, you know, people that 2-year comics that are also doing it, that are buying followers and getting up places they don't deserve to and manipulating their way in the scene. They're not doing the T.I. approach. But what I'm seeing from this is like comedy is really being infiltrated and made a mockery of at all levels right now. And it's really sad to watch for me because I've been in the trenches working my ass off. I've paid my dues for, you know, 30 million for 30 different comics. Like, I paid enough dues for like 30 comics. Now, no one should feel bad for that. And like, things change. And like, I understand that it's like, oh, cry me a river.
Right.
But I just think that like, and I think you'll agree that like, you really gotta, stand up is a beautiful art form when done correctly. And it takes time. And you really gotta, it's nuanced. And you really gotta do it for a while, you know?
The longer you do it, the better you get at it. You know, there's no real substitute for time doing
stand-up comedy. It doesn't get the respect it deserves. It is the hardest job to do in the world. I don't mean it's the most taxing physically. There are jobs that are physically harder, but to do competently, it is the hardest job to do in the world. There's other comedians, people who are genuinely funny that can't do stand-up. There's people who are funny, even funny
there
people
are writers,
can't do stand-up.
Writers and sketch people who can't do
stand-up. There are people who are naturally funny in everyday life that cannot do stand-up comedy. It is a completely...
There are comics who did comedy, who were funny, and then came back and tried
do
to
it
do
again.
Stop doing it. Like, you know, like Chris Tucker blew up on 7 minutes of Def Jam and then did movies and then... never really came back to the kind of prowess that he was at the time when he blew up. And so, you know, even that's the case. I mean, why do you think Eddie Murphy won't come back? He's not coming back because he doesn't think he could come back. You know what I mean? Or at least not at the proficiency.
Well, you know what it is also in a lot of, and this is part of it, is I believe that they don't, some of these guys don't want to come back also because they don't feel they're going to be given an opportunity to come back appropriately. It's going to be immediately, you know, someone's going to find a way to record something. Someone's going to blog.
And you're not going to be ready.
It's like, they just want to go. The dudes that do it and these legends, they want to be able to get back on that stage
and be
able
good.
To find themselves for a second, and they're not going to be able to do it. So everyone's just going to attack them because, like I said, we're exploiting and making a mockery out of stand-up. So these dudes can't go back and be artists.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really big problem, and I don't want to speak for him because, you know, but I know Jim Carrey pretty well, and I know that one of the, we had a conversation about this, you know, and he's such a, his stand-up, you know, he really gets into it, you know? So I think a little bit, he's like,
he gets into everything. He immerses himself into everything. Yeah.
So I think a little bit, he wanted to get on, he would want to go back and just be able to play around for a little bit. And I don't feel he thinks he could be able to do that.
And because the expectation is so high. Absolutely. Well, then what happened? Part two was the thing with the girl. Mm-hmm. He came to a spot in Atlanta, was heckling this girl, and then the girl, because he had some sexual allegations about him and his wife grooming, and the girl said, "Well, so he was like, "Bitch, take your wig off," and he was like heckling her, which you never, like, you know, I'm not saying, if you're a comic, if you're on stage and there's a comic heckling you, I will check him.
Yeah.
Yo, what the fuck are you doing, dog? Like, this is, there's a club that we're in, even if we don't know each other. I've done that for you know, New Jacks, where somebody's yelling or yo, shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? So there was that, and then she said, so you know, she's a comic. I don't know. I think she's been doing it about eight years, and he's been doing it 4 weeks. And so he goes, yeah, well, I'll take my wig off when you talk about those sexual assault allegations. And then all of us, he got mad.
Why did he tell her to take the wig off? Why did he scream that?
So she was doing a bit about being married, and he was like, shut the fuck up, bitch. He was just heckling her.
Was he just heckling her, or was he upset with her for having done jokes?
No, he didn't like what she was talking about.
But is he, so in real life, is T.I. really like that type of person? Because I wasn't sure if it was like...
How do we know? I mean, all we know from him is his rap stuff.
Well, because I'm wondering if he is doing what a lot of rappers do and creating this because he thinks this is what he needs to do to get heat. Like, is he doing this because he's really like a punk, or is he doing this because he thinks like, yo, this is the game, I'm going to start beef, I want people to know I'm here. Like, what does he think he's doing? Because
maybe it doesn't seem like that. It seems like very natural, because we had a whole, after the whole Godfrey thing, we ended up squashing the thing, but I was on the live and I said, look, you have to respect, basically, I won't get into the detail. Y'all, it's online if y'all want to check it out. I basically was like, there's an etiquette to this, and you're not following the etiquette. And I was like, you're out doing 30, 35 minutes, and you can't do 35 minutes. And the thing about doing 35 minutes is we all get 5 minutes.
Right.
You start with 5 minutes. You don't get 7 minutes till you're funny at five. You don't get 10 till you're funny at seven. And so we learn the economy of time in the process of that growth so that, but if you're a new jack and you get 30 minutes, a joke that you and I could do in 7 seconds, it'll take him 2 minutes to do because he doesn't understand that you have to edit and people are not, they don't want to hear all of this shit.
Like, it sounds like what he should be doing, and what I think a lot of people should start doing personally is, hey man, maybe you're really more of a personal appearance. Maybe like you're trying to do stand-up.
Dude,
or maybe
even if he wants to do stand-up, you still, all you do is you get up under somebody who knows what the fuck is, and you submit to the process.
That's what I'm saying, but I'm seeing a lot of a rise in this happening where people are kind of pivoting to stand-up.
Right.
People that have followings.
Because it's a money grab.
Right, so at what point do we just have to really start calling it what it is, and it's live appearances? And it's like this whole notion that like they're doing stand-up, it's like, look man, maybe at some point it will be stand-up. Right now what you're doing is like a personal appearance, you know.
Well, let me wrap this up because I want to get into you. I can feel Harry looking at me crazy. But so what happened was, anyway, long story short, that was an incident where he snatched the mic out from the girl. And then this weekend pass, he did the Barclays Center and he got booed off the stage. But prior to being booed off the stage, the girl who he snatched the thing from was like, you know, I'm not going to have you tell me what I can say and what I can't say. I'm about this comedy shit, blah, 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 blah. And she goes, and comedy is hard. And he goes, no, it's not. No, it's not. And really, he doesn't think it's hard because he's been coddled. You didn't know that, Harry. You make
it
a fake.
I didn't hear that part. No.
Oh, yeah. She goes, comedy's hard. And he goes, no, it ain't. No, it ain't. He's also said
just
the reason why comics are mad at me for doing comedy is because I'm so good at it. And
so, he's such a comic. Did he handle getting booed off stage the same way Burr handled getting booed off stage?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely.
No, I just sat there and got booed.
Yeah,
he just got booed. I mean, I do commend him because he did all his time. He did all his time, and then he was on stage the next day. He got back in an arena.
I don't know. Well, let's also not forget this guy's been a performer for years. So he's doing so, like, that part of it probably doesn't faze him.
But it should. Yeah. Because the point is being funny.
That, yes. I mean, there's a level where it becomes consistency, but there is another level where it's delusion.
Yeah.
To sit there and think that you did a good job and not to go, man, this was terrible.
Yeah.
There's some level of mental illness or delusion.
Michael Black, he did a live with Michael Blackson, and he was like, oh, I loved it. I love getting booed because now we don't fold, we fight. He has all these sayings, and it's like,
well, it's just the wrong mentality. It's just like, look, he really was it. His song's great, you know, but like, it's just the wrong mentality for this art form.
Right. Because there's a level of humility. If you have no humility, you will not be funny. Harry made this observation that I thought was fucking brilliant. Mm. That what he's doing is like a wrestling heel.
Yeah, he doesn't understand. He's going out there. He thinks. So the first thing he does is he goes, I'm a superstar, right? He goes, tell
him I'm not a comedian. I'm a superstar.
I'm a superstar, right? So in his head, like the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase is the good guy. Like, he's doing all the things you would do to intentionally get booed. Like, hey, listen, I make more money than you. I'm better than you. Like,
he had a bit. I don't know if you knew this, but the bit that they started booing, he goes, if any of y'all, because he's known for saying expeditiously, like, that's his word. He uses words that he really probably unnecessary for me. So he goes, if I say a word and you don't know the word, raise your hand and I'll give you the definition. Which is really, that's condescending.
It's condescending.
Heel shit.
It's just like the fucking honky tonk man up there while they're booing, going, I know you love me. Thank you, guys. I mean, it's mental illness.
Quiet down, you with your fat wives.
What I'd like to have right now is for all you fat, out of shape pieces of Brooklyn trailer trash.
It's almost funny, but for like the wrong reasons. Yeah.
That's the point, though. It's like he's doing those things. He's just accidentally doing things that are not just don't endear you to the audience at all.
No,
telling them that they're stupid, right? They're too stupid to understand your big words, which he doesn't use big words. He just throws them in there for no reason. Which is very weird. Then to remind them that, hey, you're a superstar. I'm not a comedian. I'm a superstar.
And you're like, you're a fucking clown.
Letting the people know that you're rich. Letting them know that telling my kids I'm rich.
Really good way for people to go there and forget about their problems.
And I'm so proud of Brooklyn because Brooklyn gave him a nice booing, a nice healthy booing where it starts like boo, boo,
murmur, boo.
15,000 people. 15,000.
Like, I mean, that guy has been doing comedy for a month now or whatever.
In his defense, it feels like years at this point.
It does. Yeah. It does feel like years. He got booed by more people in one night than you or I have been booed our entire careers combined.
Yeah. More
if
more
you
people
took all the people
hate
who,
his comedy,
I mean,
could
in
ever
one
like
night,
your comedy.
10,000 to 15,000 people booed him.
Yeah. Crazy. Anyway,
and then he's gonna keep going.
Oh yeah, He's going to keep going. And he's probably not going to get better because he's not he has no humility to learn it, to submit.
Please
put himself in an artistic, an interesting artistic situation, because you'll have to really step back in order to really move forward. But it seems like he just is going to double down.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what he's doing.
But he's surrounded by yes people. And then the other thing that Dante told him when he was on that show with Godfrey, when they were talking to T.I., you know, he goes, hey, there's a method, and, you know, there's a way to learn this thing. And I forget, it was him or his, you know, his cronies, whoever.
No, it was him.
Who
he
went,
was like, I'm done talking to you.
Yeah. Like sharks are born. That's your journey. Sharks are born swimming. And it's just an asinine way to look at something. And would you ever allow some? I mean, it's just because you're good at producing music, does that mean you're automatically good at everything?
Well, you know what?
Where is that mentality?
Here's the thing. People who promote comedy usually suck at comedy.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is a really close jump, but not a...
It's not the same thing, though.
It's not the same thing. But so I just wanted to use that to talk about the humility. You know, when you have a level of humility, and I don't mean where you're depressing and you're down on yourself, but to have a reasonable amount of a proper amount of humility is what makes you endearing. And being able to recognize that and kind of deal with that in a real sense is what makes you attractive.
I mean, of course, yeah. It makes you entertaining, and it makes people want to hold on to what you're saying and really kind of go on that journey with you.
John, do you have a girl? You got a girl now, or are you just solo? Or?
I'm single right now. You know, back in New York. Great segue, by the way.
Yeah.
So humility. Anyway, John, you got a girl. you know, dating in New York so far has not been wonderful. So I'm just kind of riding solo here. You know, and it's not, look, New York dating is like, it's expensive.
Yeah.
You know, so it hasn't been super fun. I'm weird too with, it's progressive, I think.
What do you mean?
I'm very weird with first dates now, because I'm 37.
Right.
And I've spent so much money.
Right.
On the first date.
Like if I went to a financial advisor and I was like, hey, I want to invest in first dates, he'd be like, you're just going to lose so much money.
Right.
This is a horrible, horrible investment.
It's a bad financial investment for that process. If you went, listen, I'm going to spend at least $200 every time in an attempt to find a wife who more than likely will leave with half my stuff.
Well, yeah, and I don't
at
really
some
want,
point.
I really want to.
Hopefully, we'll have some kids. That'll be another. $100,000.
Yeah, and I don't really enjoy the first date interview process that's in New York more so than was in LA. And I'm not saying LA is better, but it was just different. But like, I'm having an issue with like, I do it, and I know this is not popular. I just don't understand anymore, because you know, marriage is derived from ownership, from men actually owning women, right? Like that's what it derives from.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Now we're at this point where we really are trying to achieve equality. And we're at this point where men do not control or own women. And we really want to get to this point where we have like equal rights for sure. You know, so with that being said, and I really mean this, I think it's bizarre if I go on a date with someone who's doing really well, or maybe even makes more money than me, and I have to pay. I find it weird because you don't need the money.
Right.
You know, so it's about the chivalry, I kind of guess.
Yeah, it's a weird, because if you don't pay, then they think there's something weird about you.
Yeah, and it's not that I can't afford it, it's just that I don't understand why. Like
the principle.
She's a partner at a real estate law firm, and she does very well.
Right.
And I'm like, why am I paying for her?
Right,
like,
right.
She has tons of money. And then we went out a bunch of times and I kept paying. And I at some point I'm like, so at this point you just get to hoard all your money.
Right.
And I get to spend mine. And
that's also why she's has the money that she has, is because the system is set up in a way. So one of the things, this is an interesting thing. This takes me right into a situation, something that I, you know, philosophies that I talk about all the time. Over anytime you're in a relationship, anytime you're in a male-female relationship.
I say one thing too. I don't want to pick up. Sure. I just want you guys to know I am not cheap.
Okay.
If the person is, say she's, I'm 37, say she's like 29 and still in grad school or something, mm-hmm. I'll pay.
Right.
What about that? But if it's something where, so I don't want you to think that like I'm like, I'm not.
Okay, first of all, let me explain something to you. I would never judge you.
Mm-hmm. To the listeners.
I don't give a fuck. Fuck them too.
No, you know
what I mean? Like, and I don't mean fuck them in that way, but I know. Get to. So you learn, the whole dialogue here is to learn something that you haven't learned. That's the whole point of it, a point of the show. So, and what I say all the time is that anytime you're in a relationship and you're the man of the relationship, you will do things that you don't want to do. You will spend money you don't want to spend.
Yeah.
You will listen to things you don't want to listen to. You will go places you don't want to go. You will have to have patience about things that you don't want to have patience. So the
discussions about things you don't give a fuck about.
It is a sacrifice. Yeah. Any relationship that a man enters into, there's no the benefit. He decides what that benefit is. Now, it's. I hate to use the analogy, and then again, no, I know. It's like you get a puppy. I gotta pay for the shots.
Right.
I gotta train him. I gotta walk him, rain, sleet, snow, whatever it is. Because if I don't walk him, they can shit in my house. And I'm making a commitment that at some point in time, when the hip dysplasia kicks in, I'm gonna have to pick this dog up. And carry him outside so he can shit, pick him up until we have to put him down. So what's interesting about it is the relationship, if it's whatever you're getting out of this relationship, is in the same way. We still decide, to might decide to get a lab, and you go, well, what I get from this is the fact when I come home, there's companionship, there's this, but what you give that dog is you do not get back. What you get from them is something that you perceive is important. And because you perceive it's important, you make the deal. But you're making a deal knowing that you lose in the end because the system is set up that you lose. That's what the system is set up for. And so what happens moreover is the difference is what I don't understand. If I'm entering into an agreement that I know that I'm already
that you lose is so funny to say, by the way.
You're losing.
Set up so you lose. It's so funny.
I go, I don't mind losing, but I will not lose and not get what I want also. I will make a deal that I know clearly is not equal, that I'm going to have to do more, be more. I'm the guy who has to, if there's a noise bump in the night, I got to go down and check to see where the noise is coming from. I will work, I will support, I will protect. But what I want out of this, I'm going to get. I don't understand how men get into these relationships where there is clearly this is a fucked up deal. Then if she doesn't work and we did divorce, she takes half of my shit. And then here's the thing.
It's also not a lot of times fulfilling for the woman either. So that the system that's set up to kind of that we're talking about where the men are on the bad side of it. It's not a good relationship. So the women don't get anything good out of it also. So that's like,
that's not true. You just said there's a situation where you're doing how many first dates and paid everything.
Right.
So she absolutely is giving it.
At the bare minimum.
She's getting everything.
Right. But she's going to end up with, because I do think this is someone who wants to settle down, she's not going to end up in a good relationship, or she's going to end up with a guy who just blindly throws money. Oh, but he's probably going to be getting, you know, hookers and God knows what, because.
Yeah. But that could be with any human, any aspect of human nature.
What I'm saying on a fundamental level, if you look at this as a business deal, it's a shitty business deal. You're making a shitty deal.
Yeah.
But you decide, you go, okay, I enjoy her company. I want some, I mean, because we don't want to be alone. We like the companionship. Yeah. We want, you know, we like the way she looks. We like fucking them. Maybe she's funny at times. Maybe whatever the fuck she brings to the table, which at best is going to be minuscule compared to what you do. And on top of that, as she's getting older, her stocks are going down. As she gets older, her stock, and I get that this is uncomfortable for you, but I don't give a fuck, because it's the truth. And as I get older and I gain more resources, wisdom, respect, and so on, my stocks go up.
Right.
And go ahead.
That's why I like dating successful women. I have a couple of my exes are very well off.
Right.
And the ones that are, and they are, and they're like confident and comfortable with themselves, they're awesome. They're awesome. And I'm like, look, I like love that. I love someone that's like successful and isn't dependent on me, because I think that old model is very flawed. That's why divorce rates are through the freaking roof, you know? So financial situations cause such a rift in relationships. It's such a problem. So I want someone that's got their own money and understands that they have their own money.
Right.
And I think that is just a beautiful, I think it's a beautiful thing, because money causes such a problem in the world, and it's not even real. So I just don't want to ever get to a situation, you know, and I got friends that are in relationships where money is such an issue, and it's just like, it's so ridiculous. So I just want you to have your own. I have my own. We pull it a little bit. We're on the same page. That's why I love dating successful women. And I've dated some real successful women that are worth like a lot. And right. They've just been, you know.
Now, but older than you.
No.
No.
No. I'm not gonna say names, because
you don't have to say, just
with her, just because, but she was a very, very successful actress. She's on a very big show. Uh-huh. So she's got a lot.
Well, but here's the point with that. Here's what's interesting with that. You women die alone. They die alone. And what happens is, especially you find attractive women because of the fact that, and what's fucked up is the system is fucked up in the beginning, because we have to, what makes us attractive is our resources, our ability to provide, our ability to protect, our manhood is what makes us attractive. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, a woman, what makes her attractive to us is her looks, mm-hmm. Her access to sex and sex and reproductive abilities and so on and so forth. But her money is her money still. Like, mm-hmm. a man doesn't upgrade himself because his woman is rich.
Right.
He may benefit from it, but you don't get to be, as a man, I'm not looking at you as though you're a dope dude simply because your wife is rich.
Right.
I mean, I always use this example. I haven't used this in a while, but Kevin Federline won the game. Like, everything that we talk about, getting sued for, Dr. Dre got sued, had to give up something like $300 million to his wife, separated. She didn't make a beat. Like, I'm not saying that she didn't take care of the kids and whatever the fuck, but she wasn't this creative genius. But for her to get hundreds of millions
half,
of dollars.
She's not worth half right. the empire.
She's not worth half. So
her contribution isn't half the empire.
No. It's so there's this ridiculous concept of this, and it's because as he becomes older, his resources grow and his maturity grows and he becomes more value, but whereas she ain't even as hot as she used to be. So now she's 40, 50 years old. Body starts sagging. She looks like a garbage bag full of shoe boxes. Like, you just like you. What attracted me is not even the thing that gives
that you are now,
the value
yeah.
that you are now. And
I look at that with women. I do look, and I hope they look at me the same. But I do look at how like they take care of themselves, because I can see a girl right now. It's like hot, right? I'm like, wow, she's really hot, but I don't know if this is going to be lasting. Cause I think now women can be, I mean, they can do, you can do stuff. You can be, I mean, look at, obviously everyone knew she's like J-Lo or like whatever, or like, you know, she's obviously like a unicorn, but like even like Shakira, dude, Shakira, I'd marry Shakira right now, you know?
Right. So
everyone, men and women, there's stuff out there. You can take care of yourself older and look better older.
Sure.
So really, yeah. But you're not, but Shakira at 25 is not better than Shakira now.
No, I don't actually. That's the only example I don't
all
know.
All right, here's what. But then, even if you want to, I may I don't know whatever.
What are you saying, Dante? I didn't understand the concept.
Anecdotal.
Of this.
You may have these anecdotal situations, but what I'm saying, what person, what thing in the world is more valuable under more use, age, and more use, age, and abuse in a sense. There's nothing that gets older that's worth more than something that's younger under a higher level of abuse and usage.
No, I know what you're saying.
That's just not what the case. You have guys who have they like a little MILF or they like an older woman, but we're talking about anecdotally. And I'm not saying that you can't have a relationship with where somebody is kind to you, and because what they bring to you, and they're kind, and they got your back, and they know you, and they finish your sentences or whatever crap you whatever crap is important to you. What I'm saying is overall, the deal, you make a deal that you ultimately, where you gain in value, where she loses in value. J-Lo's 50 years old and she looks great. Give me a fucking 28-year-old J-Lo over a 50-year-old J-Lo.
Yeah, of course.
Any day of the week. So, you know, what I'm saying is it's just so. And the way it works is so.
Well, it's just what appeals to
it's
us.
It's just what it is.
Instinctually. It's just what appeals to us instinctually and the desire from each part. Yeah, women want somebody who's attractive for sure. But that does not have the same value of how much men want the attraction. Because a woman will date somebody who is not as attractive if he has the other qualities, being powerful or being protective or being interesting, where that doesn't apply in the reverse. It's just, unfortunately,
it's just
that's just
different.
Instinctually, the way we view it.
She wins on the front end and you end up winning on the back end. What happens is a lot of men have been fooled to think that as they get older, that they lose their value. And because they don't understand what their value is, they will put up with anything. And they're thinking that the rules are the same for them as it is for women. Like if you're a 50-year-old woman, like I had a friend of mine who met up with this 50-year-old woman, and he was like, she was well taken care of, went to the gym, and he was like, hey, what's up? So, you know, like he would have taken her. She goes, well, I want to get wined and dined. And he was like, yeah, old bitch, you could be coy in the rearview mirror. I'll see you.
Yeah,
so
we're not doing all that.
He was like, yeah, and it's not that he wouldn't have taken her out, but the fact that she was so adamant about
the attitude that she had
about
it. You're
gonna wine and dine me.
Also, this doesn't sound like a fun time for the guy. It just sounds like
this is exactly what I'm saying.
I'm saying like got to be on. Yeah, it's like it's got to be. I'm just speaking to a two-way street. Like both people, it's expectations. Both people's expectations have to be on the same page. Like I want to go out and I want to have fun on a date. You know, like I want to. Sure. Well, have a good time and vibe with someone, then like. It's,
but the it's other thing about that is that there's this thing where it's incumbent upon you as the man usually to plan the date, right? You're usually required to do that. So even if it's not financial, what you lose is something from energy.
It's energy.
Time,
it's
patience.
It's like we used to. Harry used to fucking hair on the back of his neck used to stand up every time we'd have a girl on here and she would talk about spark. I just don't feel it. You know what the spark is? The spark is that I've listened to you and listened to what you like and what you don't like. I've created a dossier to know what it is. And then I plan a date according to everything that I've learned about you because I paid attention. And then she's like, I had such a great time. This wasn't accidental.
Right.
Also, women don't really know what they want either because like, because of all the dating apps right now, like, everyone, men and women, do have like more options. I still always think women will always win. Women will always have more options than men do. It's a myth to think that men can get more women, that women can get. Women can obviously, women have way more options than we do. And it's getting difficult for us because of this. We have to try to be more creative because we're up against so much more competition now. So we have to be creative in terms of like.
Yeah, but Johnny, what you're not taking into consideration is.
But I don't get creative. I just don't care. I'll just be like. Right. Yo, you can go out Tuesday. No, but I don't get creative. That's what I'm saying. I don't put the effort in. I'll be like, yo, I live a cool life. I got Tuesday free. We can go out. We can get to know each other. If we're vibing, then I'll take you to some cool shit. Because I can take you to some cool shit. I always think in my head, the reason I hate like dating right now and like I don't even try on the apps is because I get really excited because I'm an optimist because every girl's profile will be like, I just want a guy. I just want a guy that will make me laugh and that I can travel with. And I'm like, dude, every girl should love me. This is great. Right. I'll make you laugh. I do it for a living, and I travel for a living. We can go to a lot of places. So I'm like, done, deal. But they don't really want that. They just say that, but they really want some dude named Kyle who has a finance job, who went to San Diego once 3 years ago and still talks about the margaritas. Like, they want basic dudes to settle down with, but they act like they don't.
Yeah. So
it's frustrating for me because I'm just like, yo, you guys don't know what you want. And it's like, you know what I mean? And it's like, I'm not just going to take you like to the, you know, a Knicks game in the box, date one, you know, there might be some dude who does that, but that's probably all he can do. You know, like, I'm not showing you
all my hands,
get to know me. And then I'll show you my hands.
Right. But understanding what your value is and that you ultimately have value and that you're interesting.
Which is what he's doing.
That's exactly what I'm saying. And the fact that I need to work to get you when I'm going to have to pay for the date, I'm going to have to be, I mean, very rarely I can count on one hand the times that I've been out on a date and the woman was interesting. Her conversation with, it's me being on, me being funny, me being interesting, me being, it's all from my resources that creates this spark. And then she goes, well, you know, I really liked him because I feel like we had a spark. No, I was dope and you wasn't.
In New York, I'm like the Tinder unswindler because I don't let anyone know what I have or what I do really.
Right.
I play it. I'm like, oh, like I play, like I'll wear, I won't even like, I had this one girl, she was really, 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 really cute, 26. I wore an Office t-shirt.
The TV show, The Office?
Yeah. But it was like a cool one.
Yeah.
And I was wearing diesel pants that she doesn't know are actually $350 pants, but like they were like joggers. And then I was wearing like Wolverine shoes that are super expensive, but because my t-shirt didn't match the collared look she wanted, she literally was like, you could have gotten a little more dressed for this. I was like, yeah, cool. Bye. Like,
yeah.
What? That's why I wore this.
Did you leave or no?
We had a horrible time. I couldn't stand her. And I did end up paying for drinks. And then she kept wanting to hang out. So here's a little bit of a kicker. Someone set me up with her. This was a little bit different. So it's not the best example. She wanted to meet me.
Right.
But then I think she might have been trying to play like that. But I think she thought maybe because I was wearing that t-shirt that like I didn't care. But I'm just like, dude, I'm just chill. This is a first date, not a, you know, it's like, what do
you want? Yeah, I mean, this is, you and I were talking about this over at the comedy club. And it was like, somebody was heckling you something. And I mean, I know you've been doing it 10 years and I've been doing it 21. And I said to you, and you were talking about this bit that was involved. And I said, a lot of times when you want the bit to work, what happens is you try harder. When the audience withholds, we have a tendency to try harder. And the real pro move is to try less. Because even when you start to try harder, what you're doing is you're communicating a sense of neediness. And that neediness,
you can't give the crowd your power.
Right, and you give them the power, and then once you give them the power, then they go, well, I don't know if I like this thing. And I don't give a fuck. Like, I know what this is. I know what I'm doing. I know I'm funny. You're a plumber. She's a secretary.
You work at
the Social Security office. None of y'all are funny.
None of you.
You have to pay people to make you laugh. All of my friends are funny. So you don't get to make a choice. You don't even get to decide what's funny. I'll tell you what it is. And what's interesting is when you take that posture, immediately they go, oh, okay. A woman always wants you to take charge, but she wants to feel confident that if you're going to drive, that you know how to drive. And when you make that clear, like if somebody said to me, you could have got dressed, I go, you know what? We could just not do this. I don't even do the drinks.
That's essentially what I was saying. What I said, but like also, I got to be we got to be a little careful now, unfortunately. So I was just like,
well, you don't have to be careful if you eject from the date because she says something. Because here's when somebody says, you should have gotten dressed. It's so the
context.
My value is what you perceive. You feel as though you should set this bar and I should clear this bar for you. I don't even know if I like you.
Well,
the fact that you said this, I don't like you.
I actually kind of liked the culture in LA dating a little more, if I'm being honest. I can't believe I'm actually saying this, but I did like it a little bit more. I find here girls will do this thing where they'll be like, they'll try to schedule a date for like a week and a half out. And they'll be like, it'll be like Tuesday, we're texting. I'll be like, all right, so I'm free next Thursday. And I'm like, yeah, dude, I don't know if I am. I can't, like, like that's wild that you are trying. So I just will always be like, nah, I'm not available. Sorry. You know?
But I found what that- is the response from that?
I don't think they usually care, because I think they probably have, in my mind, and I could be wrong, they probably have, you know, five other dates lined up for the week.
Listen, the bottom line is, women have plenty more options. The problem is they don't have the options that they want.
Exactly, yeah, totally.
And so it doesn't matter how many options.
That's why I go, okay, cool, yes, yeah.
Yeah, so like if somebody said to me, well, you could address more, I go, you know, we could just not do this.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
And then they go, well, why? I go, because I don't know you and I don't even know if I like you.
Yeah.
So you're making demands on me and I don't even know if I like you. See, the assumption.
It comes from the supply and demand that I will experience.
Yes, you might be, I don't know if you'll be proud of this or think it's weird.
Yeah.
But
I'll probably be proud of it.
She kept wanting to hang out.
Of course. You know why? Because she didn't give a fuck.
And I think she wanted me to make a move and be like, let's go back to my place. And I just was not into it. And I was just like, I'm not even going to give her that.
Well, here's the interesting thing.
I was like, all right. Then finally I was like, all right, I'm just going to, you know, this has been great. I'm going to go. And she was like confused. Like, wait, you're not even going to ask me that. And I'm like, I don't want to be like, no, dude, this has been horrible. Like, you know,
did you say that? Cause I would say that.
No. I just went, no, you know, I'm a little tired and you know,
You know, if you, I won't, I'll go less, you
her
know,
face like this.
I'll be like, yeah, let me drop you home. And then if they ask me why, like, I won't do anything. Like, I don't think you have to be a dick. Like, I don't think you should be a dick for the sake of being a dick.
But listen, she said something else that was wild too.
Go ahead.
So my buddy was like, this is my fiance's friend. I want you to take her out. And I was like, all right. And I was like, oh, she's cute. So when we were there and she's already being like a little bit neggy, I was like, so tell me, I was like, beautiful girl, you seem nice. I go, how are you having any trouble dating in this city? Like trying to be nice. And she goes, I'm not. And I go, oh, why? I think I said like, I don't know why I'm here. And she's like, why? I go, I was under the impression you wanted to go out with me. And then she kind of acted like she wasn't, but I know she was. So I was like, dude, I didn't want to ask. My buddy was like, ask this girl out. She like wants to hang out. And I was like, okay.
It doesn't matter. You're too empathetic, which I get because I'm also empathetic. So you're trying to, but what I've had to learn is
that's where I come in.
Yeah, that's where Dante came in.
Wait, you know what? You need to tap me out. That's a show right there. Yeah. That's a show. When a date's going wrong, and then Dante just taps him out and then just sits down and is like, look, I'm going to be real with you.
Yeah. Well, it's a very short show because most of them end with, I'm leaving. I'm out. So it doesn't, you can't fill 22 minutes. But when you're empathetic, you're considering like, oh, what are they going through? What's going on? There might be something else. I don't want to hurt their feelings. And when you just cut to the chase, you learn to go, I'm not wasting my time. Whatever it is, I don't know the backstory. I'm not your psychologist. I'm not your therapist. And I'm not planning on being in your life to fix it long term.
How about
I got to go.
How about this? I don't like you enough to give a fuck yet.
Yeah.
I'm not willing to be unhappy because you're a cunt. Like, I'm already know because I already know that if this does work out, it's going to cost me time, money, energy, and patience.
Under the best of circumstances.
That's if I like her and she's dope, it's still going to cost. So if we're already starting out with you thinking that you're doing me a favor, peace, like beat it.
Yeah, and it's also like we, you know, our nights are so valuable to us too. So for me to like take a full night off to be like, hey, I'm taking this night off for you.
You know what? I'll tell you, for years, what I would be like, I would be like, look, I do comedy. You want to come, you can meet, because I don't stop doing this for nobody. So if you want to meet me there, you can meet me there. When I'm done with my last one, we could maybe get a drink, or we could stay there and get a drink. I'm not adjusting myself. You're not worth that. And I'm not saying that women are not worthy of that. What I'm saying is, just like the problem is, they think that they're interviewing you, when the reality is you should be interviewing them. Because of the fact of what you said, everything that you said about spending money, you know, I got to pay, I got to this, I got to that, I got to be interesting, I got to be funny, I got to figure out if you got a peanut allergy so we don't go to Korean food because you don't, you know what I'm saying? All of these moving parts, which I don't mind doing it. But if you show me one inkling of the fact that you don't appreciate what I'm doing, fuck you. I could just not do this. I could go do a spot. I'll meet you for drinks.
Right.
It's going to be more fun anyway.
I will say, I don't like initially bringing girls to see me stand up. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. As a matter of fact, the person that's calling me is, I don't like people coming to see me initially do stand up. Because I don't want them to have these expectations of me, because I find when they see you on stage, they become a little more into you and a little weirder. So
in
I want
way?
To know me.
You know what? Let's stop it here. We're gonna go do something behind the Patreon. Plug your social media and then we'll go behind the paywall.
John Campanelli 1 on Instagram, which I wish I had to write all the John Campanellis, but I don't. So John Campanelli 1. On Instagram and Twitter and all that stuff, and TikTok.
Okay. Harry Talk.
All my stuff is at Harry Turjanian. Follow my TikTok and all that stuff. And join us over at Patreon, patreon.com/manschool202 for bonus content.
Yo, y'all know how to get me. Everything Dante Nero, DanteNero, DanteNero.com if you need a consultation. GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, What Would Dante Do? The Sexual Revolution is being podcast. Yo, I love y'all. Follow us on Patreon. We appreciate you going behind the paywall on Patreon. Sign up for that. It helps us. If you like what we're doing, help us so we can keep doing it.